Good morning, all. How's everybody this morning on this nice spring day? You know, the sun shines, but the thermometer keeps saying 32, 33. But it'll be here. I have a couple of announcements this morning. One is we need prayers for Ron and Karen Smith. For Ron, Ron's dealing with cancer, as a lot of you know, and he is now on hospice. Dee Stone wanted me to announce, try to remind all of you to bring your crosses in. You'll notice back there in the back, there's quite a few of them back there right now, but I know you probably a lot more of them out there that could be brought in. So bring your crosses in and have them displayed there on the back. And Gayla Eagle wanted me to get with you folks this morning and talk to you a little bit about the garage sale coming up. She would like to get the kids involved in this garage sale. Seems that the kids are the ones that end up going to the camp. Kids aged 6 to 9 can help set up on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. That's March 25th through the 28th, anytime between 9 and 5 p.m., and they only need to work two-hour shifts. And then if there's kids out there age 10 and up who can help set up on those same days, or they can come in on Thursday and Friday and actually help with the garage sale itself. Those kids are urged to bring their parents and their grandparents with them, by the way. If you have... Oh, and also there's going to be a bake sale. I believe that they're asking for the baked goods to be brought in on Thursday. So if anybody would like to contribute to that, bring your baked goods in on Thursday. And if you have any questions on this, just get with Gayla Eagle. I won't give you your phone number because you'll probably forget it anyway, but just get with Gayla and she'll have all that information. On the back of your bulletin, just make sure you take a look at all those. The Lenten prayer study on Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. What's that?
The Lenten study on Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesdays, I'm sorry. I have you all here on the wrong day. And the garage sales mentioned there, newsletter a deadline. And Deckerville Area Community Choir. So if anybody's interested in that, that's all on the back of your bulletin. Is there any birthdays this morning? I know there's one. Jim's got a birthday this morning, too. Right here? Lots of birthdays this morning. Okay. Okay, how about anniversaries? Have we got any anniversaries this morning? No anniversaries. One thing I forgot to mention, the little red book that's in each pew, make sure you sign that and leave it in the pew. Okay, I believe there's a change in the opening song this morning, Pastor.
Is we are going to sing number 2025, As the Deer, and I think it's already switched on the screen, so please stand as able.
Thank you.
our call to worship this morning. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you.
I will cling to the Lord, and His hand will keep me safe.
Remember that the Lord your God will always be your help, your strength, and your Redeemer.
In the shadow of God's wings, I will sing for joy. Praise be to God.
Our next hymn is number 577. God in Grace and God of Glory.
You may be seated, and I'm going to invite the children up. You come up and join me. Good to see all of you. Come on up. Hey. Good morning, good morning. How is everybody? Good? Do you have a... And today your dream will come for 10-4. I love it. Thank you for sharing that. All right. Okay. All right. So now I'm going to move to me speaking, okay? All right. So I have a sign. Thank you. I love it, Gayla. I have a sign. What does it say? For those of you who can read. Stop. What does it stop? What does it mean when I say stop? Stop. That's very good. You quit doing what you're doing, right? Yeah. That means to stop, quit doing what you're doing. So today we're going to talk about stop, and there's another word, repent. Can you say repent with me? Repent. Now, what does that word mean? Stop. Stop what you're doing. Repent is to stop what you're doing, but also to change, to make a change, make a stop. So if you're doing something wrong, what word do you use? And repent and quit. Quit doing what you're doing wrong. So if somebody encourages you to do something that you're not supposed to do, what do you say? Stop. Repent. Right? Repent. When we talk about repenting as adults, we saying that we're going to change direction, that we're not going to do that, that we're going to try to be better and improve ourselves. So we want to stop and repent. So we want to change direction. So some of us as adults, when we learn repent, it literally means we're going in this direction, which may be the wrong direction, that we literally turn around and go the other way. Can you remember that? Repent. Turn and go the other way. All right? So stop what you're doing. Yes. It is pretty big, isn't it? Well, I know the church that you go to is pretty big, too. And I am just so glad that you're visiting with us this morning. It's pretty big. I love it. Out of the mouths of... Well, I didn't make it a big church. It's been here for a long time. But let's go back to stopping. Okay? Thank you. All right, 10-4. Got it. How do you keep going with this? This is great. So I want you to remember, if somebody's taking you down the wrong way, what do you do? Stop and repent. Turn around. You can remember that word. Turn around and go the other way. Okay? So we're going to talk about that in church this morning. So what God wants us to do is live a fruitful life. What does that mean? Are we going to bear bananas and apples and fruit? No. What does living a fruitful life mean, do you think? Living it to the fullest. Being really good. Great answer. Way to go, girl. Okay, so can you guys do that? Can you be good and not go in the bad direction? Yes? Okay, let's pray. Oh, Lord, thank you for children. Thank you for their honesty. We thank you, Lord, that you can guide us to be good and not bad. And when we go the wrong way, help us to turn around, to repent, and to stop what we're doing. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, can you two older girls make sure that everybody gets those, okay? Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. At least you're a really good helper. All right, thank you. I think she's got one right there for you, and there's some more over here. All right, there's another one right there. Okay, you can go back to the nursery or to your parents, grandparents. All right, I've done my work. Oh, thank you. The choir is going to sing Marvelous Mystery. I need a swig of water first. They kind of warm me down there. Whew! Thank you.
If you've been reading your devotional, your church devotional that we created in this congregation, if you read yesterday, you'll got a head start on what I'm going to be talking about. We're having a birthday celebration this entire year for United Methodist Women, but specifically, yesterday was the day. March 23rd, 1869. What was happening then? The Civil War had been over 4 years. During that time, the Transcontinental Railroad would be completed, and they would have nailed that golden spike in at Promontory, Utah. And in Boston, a group of women met. It's March 23rd. Previously, somebody of this group of women had heard the wife of a missionary serving in India talk about the dire straits of women in India, because doctors, probably not only in this country but around the world, who could help heal things were male at that time. And because of the Indian culture, male doctors could not see female patients. And so the women in India were really suffering. And once the women heard this wife of the missionary tell of these dire straits of the of the women in India, they got to thinking, like women do, what can we do about it? And so they decided to have a big gathering and have people come from around the, women come from around the Boston area and talk about the situation. Well, they planned for this big gathering, but it was Boston, and it was March, and it was a cold, stormy night. And of this large gathering they were expecting, 8 women showed up. But they gathered and they talked like women do, and they came up with a plan, these 8 women. They were meeting at Boston Tremont Avenue Methodist Episcopal Church. And their plan was, once they heard about the need of women in India, that they would set aside some money to gather money together to be able to send a woman doctor to India, particularly to this mission place where this missionary was serving. If you know, if you remember much about your history, women didn't have much control of money in the late 1800s. Many of, even wealthy women, most of their money was controlled by brothers or uncles or husbands or fathers or whatever. But they decided they would set aside 2 cents a week to come up with money to send a doctor to India. And as they began telling others about it, the word spread rather quickly across at least the eastern part of the United States. And they were hoping to gain enough money in a year to be able to find a woman doctor to send to India. But by November, they had raised enough money to send not only a doctor, but also a teacher. So that was the starting of the base organization of what United Methodist Women is today. They sent Clara Swain as a doctor, and there's still a Swain Hospital operating in that part of India. And they sent a teacher, Isabella Thoburn, and there's still a Thoburn School operating in India. Once that word got started, other organizations that are now part of United Methodist Women also developed. The organization became the Women's Foreign Missionary Society. And by the 1800s, some women in some congregations say, well, we're helping the women over there. Who's helping the women here that need help? And so within the Methodist Episcopal Churches, a Women's Home Missionary Society started. And so they're helping women both around the world and in the United States. Those are the predecessor organizations, and as the church has changed, the women's organizations have come together. And so since 1968, we've been known as United Methodist Women. And we're celebrating our birthday today with the congregation. We have a large cake there. And for fellowship today, we hope you'll all stay and help us celebrate this birthday of United Methodist Women, our founding 150 years ago, still operating today. And for many people who know me, know that it's one of my passions in my life at this time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Linda. It's interesting to hear a little history. Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips. When I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word.
We're going to stand and sing On Eagle's Wings. It is in the hymnal. It is just the chorus, and it's on the screen. Please stand as able. It's not on the screen. 143. And it's... we're going to sing it through twice. Okay. You may be seated. We're just having some communication. I think it went on, and we do not go on. So there you go. It is time to go to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Most gracious and loving God, we humbly come before you this day confessing our sins, knowing that at some time this week we have failed and broken our relationship with you through our sin. We ask, Lord, that you forgive us and help us to stop and to repent, to look at ourselves and to go another direction, so that we will follow and honor you with all of our being, our heart, our mind, our soul, our whole self. Lord, as we worship you this morning, we pray that we have open hearts and open minds, that our ears are clear and our eyes are open to hearing you speak to us through music and prayer, through the word and the message. We ask, Lord, that We know others are hurting this morning who are ill, who have had surgery. We ask, Lord, that you bathe them with a healing hand, that they can heal quickly. And for those that may be facing surgery, we pray, Lord, that you guide and give discernment and wisdom to the doctors that see them. Oh, Heavenly Father, we ask that you guide and lead each one of us in giving us wisdom and strength, that we will grow in our knowledge and in our faith of you, that we will have an understanding of your call upon us, and that we will be faithful and obedient, following where you desire to lead us. God, we hear the children in the nursery, which is such a sweet sound. Help us all to be childlike, that we can be your hands and feet to others, to share the good news, to share our faith stories, to share what love you have poured out to us. And Lord, in this world of natural disasters and violence, with political issues and heated discussions, we pray, Lord, for your peace that passes all understanding, that we may be calm and non-anxious, that we can be your child of God. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who taught us together to say, Our Father, I encourage you to look in your scriptures to the Gospel of Luke. I will be reading 13, 1 to 9. Hear these words. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans who blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will perish. Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. And then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but he did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for the fruit on this fig tree, and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it, and if it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord. And now may there be less and less of me and more of you. These things I pray. Amen. So Jesus here is calling the people to repent, and his disciples are saying, well, what about those Galileans over here? at the hand of Pilate, they were sacrificed. Were they worse sinners than others? I think there's a little judgment call there. And he says the same of those that died in the Tower of Siloam. Were they worse sinners than others in Jerusalem? Little judgment call there, isn't there? A lot of judgment. And as human beings, so many times we too will judge others by their looks, their race, their age, their sexual orientation. And should we not be saying, well, look at them, they're worse than me? How did Jesus respond in this text? How do you respond? No. We are not to judge. It is not up to us to judge anyone else by any case, whatever their background is, their handicap, whatever it may be, it is not up to us. And Jesus is explaining that to his disciples, but he's also explaining that to us. I tell you, their sin isn't worse than yours. For we all are sinners. All here that sit in our pews and are at home are all sinners. None of us is perfect. The only one that walked this earth that was perfect was Jesus Christ. And he died for us to take away our sin. That's why when we know we're going in a wrong direction, what do? We turn around and repent. Literally turning around and stop doing what we're doing. That was the stop sign that the kids had. Stop what you're doing. Now, I can confess, that's much easier said than done, isn't it? But as Christians, we need to realize that what we say and what we do matters in the eyes of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can hurt others. We can hurt ourselves. Others can hurt us because we're human beings and we judge. So as I was reading in the commentaries this week, the commentaries were saying, folks, take the log out of your own eye instead of looking at the speck in someone else's eyes. No one sin is greater than the other, but our humanity will say, well, murder is worse than lying, correct? And we probably all feel that way, that murder is worse than a lie. But sin is anything that goes against God. Does a lie go against God? Absolutely. Anything that goes against God is a sin. And therefore, all sin to God is equal. It breaks the relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. It breaks our relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. So we need to stop and we need to repent. See, this is a perfect lesson for this time of Lent, because in time of Lent is a time for us to reflect who we are and whose we are. To be able to look and say, what am I doing in my life? Is it pleasing to God? Are we doing things that are good? We kind of talked with good and bad with the little kids, but it applies to us as adults as well. Are we doing things that please God? If we're not, what are we supposed to do? It works with adults too, doesn't it? We're supposed to stop that behavior. We know we all can't be perfect. None of us are perfect. That's why we worship. That we can come before God who died on the cross to save us, to give us salvation, to give us an opportunity to be made righteous at that point. To be made righteous. But what we have to do is ask for forgiveness. And we have to forgive others. It works as a sign of the cross. Our relationship with Jesus Christ and our relationship with others makes the sign of the cross. And we have to forgive one another, but more importantly, we have to ask God to forgive us, because a sin is what? It's a broken relationship with our God, with our Lord Jesus Christ. A sin is a sin. And as I can add, as the bishop said, do you drive 1 mile over the speed limit? Guilty. But we can laugh, but it's really true. When we do anything that goes against the law or goes against, especially our God, we need to ask for that forgiveness. So the man in this story turns and he's talking about the parable of the fig tree. This fig tree hasn't borne fruit for 3 years. Cut it down. It's not doing anything but taking up a spot, a soil. Well, if they said that about all of us here in the church, get rid of them, if they've sinned, there would not be a church, would there? But we, as Christians, as we repent of our sins and turn literally away from what we're doing, we hope that we bear fruit. So what is our fruit? It's not apples and pears and bananas. Our fruit is how we serve, we love one another, we bring a calm, non-anxious presence, we bring peace, we bring joy. The fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. Look it up. I'm going to give you a challenge. Look it up and know what those fruits of the Spirit all are. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. On and on and on. That is what we are supposed to do as Christians. So this man says, well, let me fertilize it and dig around it and take care of it, nurture it. And if it doesn't do anything in a year, then we'll cut it down. So what does this parable tell us for today? Aren't we to encourage one another? To nurture one another. We don't dig around us and fertilize us. We love one another. We care for one another. We help one another. We pray for one another. We work together as a body of Christ. And hopefully in a year, we've changed and we've grown. And our faith is stronger. And our love for each other is greater. And through it all, we're more faithful and obedient to our Lord Jesus Christ. So what does that mean for us as the church? How do we do that? How do we care for one another? There's a lot of people missing today. Pick up the phone and go, hi, we missed you in church today. How are you? Everything okay? We pray for them. There's several that are ill. I can't share everybody because I'm not supposed to, but there's people here that would like to be here, but they can't because of health. We have people that we've welcomed. But welcoming and saying, hi, how are you? We're glad to see you today. We're glad to see you. It's more than that. The hospitality goes on beyond. We love to have you come over and be a part of the United Methodist Women. I'm giving a plug today, Linda. Cake and dessert and goodies. We love to have you. See, this time after church isn't just about food. This time after church is for us to nurture one another, to encourage one another, to be in a small group, to encourage and love and share our friendship with one another. Fellowship is what the Lord did. He went to people and he had meals with people. And guess what? He went to the tax collectors. He went to the woman who was at the Samaritan well. He went to, you know, and talked with the adulterous woman. He went to the one that had leprosy. He did not judge any of them. But he loved them. I invite all of you to be participatory in our church through fellowship, through nurturing, through hospitality. It's more than just greeting each other on Sunday morning. It's about caring for each other. So my challenge for you this week, not just dig a hole and fertilize in your mind around somebody that may not be here or you haven't seen in a while, but to literally reach out and let them know. I didn't see you in church. Is everything okay? To care and share your love with one another. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your words today that we need to be reminded that we need to repent of our sins and turn around to ask for that forgiveness. But most importantly, we need to seek you and to stop whatever that we may be doing that is unhealthy and is against you and change our ways. Help us in this Lenten season to reflect, to look, to change, and to be faithful and obedient to you. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Would the ushers come forward for our morning offering? Lord God, we ask that you bless these gifts, those who have given and those who receive, that we may be faithful and obedient to you, bringing more to your kingdom of understanding and knowledge of who you are, and that we may all follow you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Our last hymn is Amazing Grace, 378 and on the screen. As you go out this week, know that God has given you second and third and fourth chances. Always be open to giving others those second and third and fourth chances. May we not judge, but may we love. Go in His love. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Glad to have you.
when I added a hotel to our flight. So even when she grows up, she'll never outgrow the memory of our adventure.
Unlock savings when you add select.
I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. To my knees, will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. To my knees, will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.